This text is saying, I need to worship God with everything I am and everything I have. So when the offering comes by, and by the way, my wife and I still tithe to this church because we think that's part of our worship. And when I do some things I don't like to do but are kind of necessary, sometimes with people, I'm remembering that's worship too. If I'm doing it for my own kicks, that's a different motive. And I travel a lot, and it gets tiresome. I speak all over the country, and sometimes in the cities too. Gary Fries and I, by the way, leave a week from this coming Saturday for Damascus to spend 4 days teaching, mentoring, and peacemaking to the leadership of our 30 Alliance Arab churches in Jordan, in Syria, in Lebanon, and I assume the church that we read about in the Lamb's Life recently from Baghdad. I don't look forward to getting on that plane and spending all this. Somebody said, aren't you worried about, the safety? Well, of course you're always worried about that, but I'm more worried about the long airplane ride on my back, frankly. But that's part of my worship. So worship is bringing all that I have and all that I am. And to do less is idolatry. Now, a lot of Christians think that idolatry is passé. You know, we no longer have little idols of wood and clay or metal or something else. But we have different ones. And I am fearful that most of us who are Christ followers at least dabble in idolatry. We're very much like the people of God in the Old Testament who wanted to follow Jehovah and these other gods. I've made a list of some of these other gods in general categories, and I call these obstacles to loving God, you know, and loving one another. And here are these idols, which I call the obstacles. There's the idol of pleasure. I talked to a young lady not long ago when she was really in rebellion from her Christian parents, and she was saying, I'm going to do whatever it takes to make me happy, and I don't care who it hurts. I mean, there was no other idol for her except pleasure. It wasn't God in pleasure. It was just pleasure with her. We make idols out of power. I want to be popular. I want to be the leader or the powerful one. Or with possessions. Whoever has the most toys in the end wins, as the slogan goes. There are people who operate that way. And then there's the pride. Looking out for number one. Or I want to appear to be better than I think I really am. Now, all of us wrestle with these, you know. I mean, I want you today to think that my sermon is better than I think it is. Yeah, that's a pride issue. And we must tear these down because they are the obstacles in our loving God. It's not God and. It's not that my life is about God and other. My life is about loving God. That's what true worship is. And out of that flows my love to others. And Deuteronomy 30:15, you don't turn there, but you may want to check it later, contains the principle that the Bible uses about these idols. He says, if you obey God, it's going to result in a life of prosperity and life. If you disobey, it leads to destruction. Jesus put it this way in Mark 8:35. Same concept, just refreshing words. Jesus says, whoever wants to save his life, you know, have it, keep it, will lose it. But whoever loses his life, meaning to faith and obedience, whoever loses his life will save it. So the call of God is for us to put aside lesser things, to love God, all our heart, soul, and mind, with our whole being. Now it's time to celebrate. Now, the sermon isn't over. It's time to respond to this teaching. Okay? So I'm inviting you to join me in both a prayer spoken and a prayer sung in which we express our love to God. That we want God to be first. I'm asking you to do this in a wholehearted way. Okay. Now I have a prayer I'm going to suggest we pray. And I'm going to pray one line of it. And then I'm going to ask everyone who means it to pray it out loud. In response, line by line. Now this may be a little stretch for you. But that's who I am. I make people stretch. And you don't have to invite me back, you know. So try. What's the point? If you are a fully devoted follower of Christ, you will pray this prayer with enthusiasm. You may be one who has never prayed this kind of prayer. You can pray it for the first time. But only pray it aloud if you mean it. Okay? Bow your head with me and let's respond to God. I'll pray the first line, and you pray, you repeat it. Lord, I am a sinner by birth and by choice. I have disobeyed you. I have neglected to do what I should do. I agree with you about my condition. I have been double-minded, wanting to serve you, but also my idols of pleasure and position and possessions. I take your forgiveness. I give my life to you. I choose to lose life. And find it in you. Join me and offer now in a song of prayer your life to God. I offer you. be seated. Now, the second part of the commandment is to love one another. And part of our history when I came was learning to do this with one another. And some of you who were here, they remember the stretches of the reaching out to others, taking the initiative to talk to people. I think we were an ingrown bunch. About not looking out after my own concerns, but as Paul says in Philippians 2, looking at the concerns. Care enough about people like the Jennifer story I told earlier. And taking risks to be open and vulnerable. Remember the body life service we used to do on Sunday nights in the 70s. See, it was this kind of concern with this emphasis that brought what we called friendship evangelism, which was loving people, not so you can win them, but because God loves you, you love them. And getting outside the box of our comfortableness. It's what our pastor was saying last Sunday when he was saying, need to enter and bless. See? We used to have a mentality that we were separated from the world. The truth was, we had a lot of the world's values. We were just separated from the peoples of the world. And we were learning how to separate ourselves from the world's values, but be among the people of the world. So we learned things about hospitality and how to affirm one another. Yeah, and for 35 years, we've been writing encouragement cards. And I'll be disappointed if you don't write one today to some young person, some serviceman, to somebody who's sick, or somebody who is under leadership of this church. Yes, because we believe every member is a minister, and yes, out of that grew the internship. And people like Betty Hart and Carol Hutchison went through that. And this week, we were visited by Dave and Brenda Petrescu, who said 20 years ago, we went through the last 12 years, they've been pastoring the International Church in Cairo, Egypt, having conversions among Muslim people. They began with 120 people and now have 1,300 people. So we were becoming all about God and about God loving people through us. So the second half of the chart I want to turn to, because the obstacle about loving people, see, has to do with the elements. It has to do with the element of fear, of people, you know, of embarrassment of what to say, or of failure, maybe I won't say it right, which is all lack of faith. So we're learning is what I call incarnational living. We were learning to love people because God was indwelling us. And it isn't because we said all the right words. It is because God's Spirit was in us. And one of my favorite stories out of that, I will tell quickly. We were having some kind of a business meeting, and we were then in Cedar Hall time, but we were having a potluck in order to get some of the people out. In what was the old worship center, see. And as I sat there in this relatively small meeting, maybe there were 50 or 75 people there, I noticed a single mother come in with three small children who was from the neighborhood. And I thought, you know, you don't have visitors like this, you know, on a business meeting, and you don't bring small children. So I got up and I went to her and I sincerely welcomed her. And there was an older couple with some chairs next to him. And I took them over and I said, could this family sit with you? And they said, yes. And I observed several times during the evening that it was going well. And of course, I was pleased. 3 days later, I got a note from this mother and thanked me for the way the people of this church were welcoming them. Now, obviously, there was no male influence in this home. And she said, when I was putting my youngest to bed that evening, he said, Mom, you remember that old man at church who cut my meat and who helped me? And she said, yes. And he said, Mom, does God have a smile like that? It's one of my favorite stories about this church. That's loving other people. So, that's what we're going to do here at the close. I'm going to stretch you a little. I want you to affirm and express love to someone by telling them what the Bible says who they are. So you don't have to make up any lines. I got the lines from you. They come from Colossians 3:12. Paul says, therefore, as God's chosen, that's who you are, people, holy. Holy means separate, means special, exclusively for God, and dearly loved. Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, and gentleness, and patience. So I'm going to ask you as to reach out and tell somebody what God says they are. That you're chosen. That you're holy. And that you're dearly loved. Now, I need a volunteer to get this started. And I think you volunteered for me, did you not, Tiffany? So you come up here. Okay. Tiffany? You are chosen by God. You are dearly loved. You are holy and separated for Him. Would you go and tell some people this? Now, if you can't get out of your chair, it's okay. But I'm asking all of you who will to get up and announce to one another who God says we are. Okay? Let's celebrate. Get up and go to it. You get down there and get them started, will you? That's a little risky. If you can't get up, it's all right. We'll come to you. Don't worry about it.
There's no greater love than Jesus. There's no greater love than He is. There's no greater love than Jesus. So deep within. There's no greater love than Jesus. There's no greater love than He is. Greater love than Jesus. There's no greater love than He gave. There's no greater love than Jesus.